You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.
Welcome back here on Hampshire Now, 1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of the show is brought to you by the Prescription Center, and this segment of it brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. That's who my family trusts to call for all our plumbing, heating, and air conditioning needs. I encourage you to experience the paradigm shift by checking out ParadigmPH.com. I'll be joining the program right now by the governor of New Hampshire, Chris Sununu, who released a really strong budget yesterday. It's a bipartisan plan to invest in some of the things that ail the state and to continue to build the New Hampshire economy. He joins us right now on the program. Governor Sununu, how are you?
Doing great, Chris. Doing absolutely great. It was good to kind of get the budget process, for the lack of a better term, done on our end, because it's quite tedious. I mean, you know, 3-4 months just kind of crunching through it line by line, and we were able to deliver it yesterday, and I think I'm very happy. I think a lot of people are very happy. We have a great opportunity in the state to invest in things that we need to invest in without any taxes, without any further burden on the citizens, and that's, you know, exactly the goal of, I think, any governor, is to present a good budget that makes the investments in a sensible way.
Yeah, I really like what I have heard, and as I've delved into this, and really the key is strategic investment, and as you referenced, doing so within the framework of our current tax climate. And we'll start with investment in children and in education. One of the things that you promised during the course of your first campaign was school building aid and targeted school building aid. This includes a $63 million fund returning money back to cities and communities to deal with that. There's also elements of investment in community and career technical education as well. What do you see as being the strongest points of investment, and what do you hope comes to fruition as a result of it?
So, you know, we've talked about school building aid in the state for the last 10 years. It's been really frozen for a long, long time. And we found a way to use some of these one-time funds. And that's a very important distinction. We have kind of our operational funds that we can count on year after year. But this year, we're blessed with, very much in part of the tax cuts that were initiated over the past couple of years, we're blessed with a lot of one-time money. We probably won't see it again. So you want to invest that in infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So what we've done is taken the $63, $64 million, created a fund that over the next 4 years will put out about $15, $16 million in grants to targeted school districts. Frankly, what we unfortunately call property-poor towns, right? Towns that just don't have some of the means that other towns have. So those schools can simply get rebuilt, so we can get infrastructure exactly where it needs to be. When I tour around the state, there are so many schools, elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, that really need a bit of a facelift here and to make the communities viable. And if they don't have that property tax base to support that, these facilities go into disrepair. Well, finally, we have the ability to make that investment for those kids. And then, as you mentioned, also the CTEs, the career technical schools, they provide incredible opportunity for our students across the state. We're going to finish out the Rochester project. We're going to put a significant amount of money into the Hudson CTE, rebuild that. Thousands of kids go through those doors every year, and it gives them real workforce-ready skills at the age of 18, not just a diploma, but workforce-ready skills, high-paying jobs. At 2.5% unemployment, there's so much opportunity for kids to just enter the workforce right away, go to the community college, go to four-year college, whatever your path might be. And the career technical schools provide an amazing opportunity for these kids at a very early stage.
Yeah, there's a lot in here in terms of workforce development. Obviously, focused workforce development in regards to healthcare and the nursing industry as well. There are also a ton of programs that are currently available in regards to job retraining, and there seems to be a lack of connectivity between the employer, the individual that may be working two jobs and would like to move up the economic ladder, and also the educational side of things. Is there an element that you would like to see in regards to connectivity, whether it's a website or further promotion of letting people know what jobs are available and creating that connectivity?
Sure. Sure. So, I mean, you talk about reskilling and retraining the workforce. So those are programs that we're making big investments in primarily through the community colleges, where adults, maybe you're 40, 50 years old, For whatever reason, you want to move on, you want to increase your skills, whatever it might be, we have to have that bridge, that gateway, to make it very easy and viable for you to make that step. So it's not as scary of a barrier as once existed. We want to make a smooth transition because that helps the individual, it helps the employer, it helps to actually get people into the workforce. And as you know, we have, I mean, somewhere in the area of 15, 16,000 available jobs today, just waiting for people to be reskilled and enter that workforce, often it's tech or whatever it might be. And then to your point, you got to promote it, right? You got to create an easy pathway, an easy way to enter that. And again, we do it primarily through our community colleges because mm-hmm. they do have good geographic breadth across the state already. And promoting those programs through the community college and letting folks know that whether it's a continued adult education, which, you know, 20 years ago, adult education was one thing. Nowadays, it's totally different. It's really advanced stuff. It's really taking your career to the next level, and every option is on the table. And we have to do that. We have to provide those opportunities because the jobs are all out there. They're all flooding into New Hampshire, which is great. We just have an amazing economic boom here, and this is the opportunity that we can take advantage of for citizens to really take that next step in their career or find a whole new career and go on a kind of their next journey.
In the Senate yesterday, Democrats passed Senator Feltus's plan for family medical leave insurance. You have pushed forth in the
budget. You're talking about the income tax? Are we talking about the income tax bill?
Yeah. You have pushed forth. There's some debate as to whether or not it is an income tax, but you are there's as the decision rests
Hold on right there, Chris. Hold on.
Sure.
How is it a debate? If it is a mandatory, I mean, I know you and I aren't arguing about it, but
we can if you wish.
Mandatory deduction out of your payroll, because they use the word payroll instead of income, what's the difference?
My understanding from what I have read in the legislation previous is the employer can make the determination as to whether or not they're going to opt in. At that point in time, yes, it becomes...
Oh, no. Be careful. It's a mandatory plan.
Every employer in the state has to opt into this?
Yes. That's the problem with their plan is they provide no flexibility, no option. Everyone has to opt in because that's the only way they can push enough money into the system to make it viable. They want to make the state into an insurance company. Well, the only way to do that is to flood $150 million in income tax into the system. So, I mean, I want folks to understand there's such a clear distinction between what we've proposed, which is a true option in, whether you want in or out, mm-hmm. Versus their plan, which is you can go back and read the line. I've read it. I actually had to read it three times because I couldn't believe it. You had all these folks running, right? They take the pledge, no sales tax, no income tax. And as soon as they get into office, SB1, their top priority bill, it's an income tax. So they can call it what they like, but there's really no debate about it. A mandatory deduction out of your payroll, out of everyone's payroll, is an income tax. But anyways, I didn't mean to interrupt.
So in regards to your plan, the Twin State Voluntary Leave Plan, take us through exactly what that is.
So the way we do it is very different, right? So the way we do it is we say we'll insure the state employees first, right, with a pool of about 10,000 people. In doing so, you create such a large pool that the rates and the premiums get extremely low. And when you have private insurers doing it, not the state, but private insurers, they have the financial backing. You're not worried about the system becoming insolvent. Therefore, as an employer or an employee out in the workforce, you can choose to opt in or not. You can say, I want to be part of that plan. And if you want to, here you go. There's a low premium that you can pay into. And if you don't, you don't. It's that simple. It's pure choice. It's the New Hampshire way. That is, you know, we sat down for months and tried to find a better way to skin the cat, so to say, a better way to figure this one out. And we did. The Department of Insurance, the Department of Employment Security, all these folks that have to basically, you know, say whether this system will work or not for the citizens, they've all stood behind it and have said very clearly, this will work. This is a viable plan. You will get private insurers in here, create that partnership, use their expertise and their financial solvency to provide the backing of a low-cost plan that people will now have choice to come in or out of. It's actually quite, I don't even need a piece of legislation to do it. All we're really doing is creating another benefit for the state employees, and with that, everyone else gets to add on, or, you know, kind of join the system if they want in an associated health plan.
The concern, though, is how big the pool is going to be and how the costs are going to relate to that. Are the costs going to be, you know, too high for folks to opt in, particularly if Vermont decides not to adopt a plan?
Yeah. we originally ran the numbers with just the 10,000 state employees of New Hampshire, mm-hmm. and the premiums there, with no exaggeration, they were so low, you know, when we looked at the estimate, I made them go back and do it again. We didn't believe them. We went to some of these folks, these actuarial folks, and we said, how can that be? But the fact is, when you're employing 10,000 people at a time, guaranteed, that's a huge guaranteed pool that creates a lot of stability and less risk for the private insurers, so they can offer the plans at a much, much lower price. You add Vermont in the mix, it just gets lower. It just gets lower. So we wouldn't have gone forward if the initial premiums that we saw were too high. Whether Vermont goes forward or not, it's better for us, mm-hmm. but it is by no means required.
That is Governor Chris Sununu joining us here on the Hampshire Now program. This hour of the show is presented by the Prescription Center, and this segment brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. He's also really excited to see what you're doing in regards to the 10-year mental health plan, and already addressing two-thirds of the recommendations in regards to that. And we've talked a lot about the secure psychiatric unit at the state hospital, at the state prison, and the need to move individuals out of that setting and into a setting that deals specifically with mental health. I was really excited to see what you proposed here in regards to that. And also creating 148 new adult placements within the New Hampshire Hospital facility, which will end the emergency department wait list. Huge steps forward, in my view, in regards to addressing mental illness.
Well, again, you know, when you have this one-time money, we can make that one-time investment, build a state-of-the-art facility that handles all the capacity needs, and it's a bit of a domino effect. So we're going to build this state-of-the-art facility to take care of the folks in the secure psychiatric unit, but at the same time, add a few more beds for adults to take care of some of the emergency room backup that we have. We're going to be able to move the kids. Right now, kids are at New Hampshire Hospital. It's a fine and decent unit. They do a good job over there. But it was not designed for kids. So we're going to be able to move them out into a place, a real home for these kids, so they can, the adolescents and children can get the treatment in a comfortable setting that they deserve. It's very different than an adult setting. That then opens up more beds at New Hampshire Hospital, which again frees up more capacity out of the community beds. And at the same time, we're creating 40 more community beds across the state, not just in New Hampshire Hospital or in Concord. So we're providing capacity in the community, in New Hampshire Hospital, with this new secure unit and better facilities for kids, all in one fell swoop. It's a big price tag. It's about $40 million, but frankly, we have the cash. We have the money. We have the opportunity today. We don't even need to bond it or borrow against it. We just build it and we go, and that immediately takes care of really what is the biggest piece of the mental health crisis. There's a lot of other pieces, as you mentioned, recommendations that came out of the 10-year plan, and look, it's a 10-year plan, and a lot of this, you know, we have planned to kind of roll out over the next 10 years to make sure not just we're in compliance, but we're hitting our goals. We have the opportunity today, so I say put your foot on the gas. There's about two-thirds of the recommendations we can do almost right off the bat, and really finally make sure that our crisis is frankly just taken care of, and we can become that national leader. We can become that gold standard, if you will, for mental health for kids and for making sure our citizens just have appropriate services when they're struggling.
So you've pushed forth, obviously, a budget that keeps pretty much the existing infrastructure and environment in place while, as we referenced before, using one-time funds to invest in various aspects that are going to help our state and our economy moving forward. And Democrats want to do more on all of these issues. And in doing such, they want to, as you referenced, find new revenue sources, whether it is legalization of marijuana, you referenced before the family medical leave insurance, which is potentially an income tax, carbon taxes. There's been discussion of taxes on recreational things as well. So the question is, if the budget comes back to you and has increases in taxes of any way, shape, or form, is that something, particularly in regards to business taxes, is that something that will lead to your veto?
We're going to have a problem. We're going to have a real problem, that's for sure. I mean, I couldn't have made it more clear yesterday that when you have the financial opportunities we have today, there's no need for taxes. There is no need to keep dipping in the well and abusing the citizens of this state and taking more money out of their pockets. We don't need it. We don't need it. We don't have a spending problem here. I should say we don't have a tax problem here. We have to just be able to control the spending. But even then, we're investing more money than ever before into DCYF, into mental health, into schools and infrastructure, into roads and bridges. We're putting those dollars to work today, and we're doing it without taxes, right? We're being innovative. We're being creative. To be very blunt, the carbon tax, for example, that's nearly a billion-dollar tax, $900 million, that they're going to impose on everyone across money out of their pockets. The income tax that we talked about. You mentioned the recreational taxes. I mean, they're going to tax canoes, right? A 12-year-old kid goes down to the pond, puts a canoe in the water to go fishing. You're going to tax him, right? That's the mentality of what's going on out there right now. And Democrats were given leadership for the first time in a long time in the House and the Senate. And frankly, they are blowing it. They really are. They have an immense opportunity to do great things with the resources that we have, and they just can't get out of their own way. It's tax, tax, tax. It's not creative. It's not innovative. They're not thinking about the individual. They're thinking about the institution of government. Give us more money. Make government bigger. Make it stronger, right? We have a very opposite philosophy. Focus on individuals. I want to focus on families and kids, folks with mental health issues, folks with substance abuse issues as individuals. When you do that, you can create systems that are very efficient, that get very high quality outcomes, and we utilize all of this financial opportunity we have today without increasing taxes and fees on the people of this state. It's not that hard, but you do have to think a little bit creatively. You do have to think out of the box a little bit, but you got to put people first instead of just the same old, we're going to tax everyone out of their shoes and hope for the best.
Governor Sununu, as always, appreciate you joining us for the program. Look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you, buddy. Anytime.
That is New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu joining us here on Hampshire Now, 1-9-1450 and NHTalkRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. This hour of the program is presented by the Prescription Center, and that segment of the show brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing, Heat, and Air Conditioning.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.